of how long it was going to be, how wide it was going to be, what the pitch of the roof was going to be.
All right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And you find that because of it, now we have a place of worship. The plans were followed. God gave Noah a set of plans.
Right.
He said, you're going to build me an ark. And he said, the ark is going to be so long, it's going to be so wide, it's going to be so tall, and he said it's going to have one door.
That's right.
One door. God was even specific enough to say that the type of wood that the ark was going to be made out of. I believe, Pastor Newman, that if Noah would have tried any other wood besides the wood that God told him to try or to build out of, it would not have worked. Matter of fact, God even said, you know, Noah, he said, when you get through building the ark, he said, I want you to take pitch and I want you to overlay it on the outside of the ark. Hello?
Yeah.
The Bible tells us in one little verse of scripture, it says, and Noah did all that God commanded him to do. Matter of fact, he did it just like God said to do it. He cut the boards just the length that he was supposed to. He made sure it didn't matter how long he had to bring the ark or how long it took the wood to get there. He wanted to make sure he did it just like God said, because he understood that it had to be done God's way.
Yeah.
Can I tell you today? There's a lot of ways that other preachers preach that you can be saved. Here, sign this card for me, and it'll be all right.
Sure.
I'll tell you what. Shake my hand. You're all right, buddy. Everything's gonna be fine. You can be saved now. Can I tell you? It don't work that way.
All right, amen.
Signing a church card, joining an affiliation or joining a church doesn't sign you. Shaking the preacher's hand doesn't save you.
No.
Can I tell you, just feeling good and coming to church every now and then and just have that feel-good feeling, it doesn't save you.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you what's going to save you. You've got to do it God's way.
Yeah.
I said you've got to do it God's way. And the Word of God says you've got to repent of your sins. You've got to be baptized for the remission of those sins, and you must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Can I tell us today, there's no other way to be saved. There's no other way to be saved. Nothing else is going to work except God's way. We've got to do it God's way, and that's why God is so mindful of us.
Yes.
That's why God comes and he begins to deal with us. That's why God comes and he brings conviction to our soul. That's why God comes and he stirs us up, Pastor. And he puts a restlessness on the inside of us. And he puts a hunger on the inside of us. And he puts a thirsting on the inside of us. You know why? Because he's so concerned about us, he doesn't want us to be lost. I want us to pray right now. Just all of our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed. Just ask God, God, if there's anything I'm lacking in my life right now, I want it, God. If there's anything that I've searched for that I haven't found in a relationship with you, help me today, God. I want everything that you have for me. Come on. Come on, talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. God's offered a plan of escape. He offered a plan of salvation for Noah, Noah's family, and for the whole world during that time. But you find that there was only a certain few that did it God's way. They did it God's way and they were saved. God, in the days of Lot, I'm closing, he sent a messenger. Sodom and Gomorrah was to be destroyed. God provided a means of escape. He didn't want Lot to be lost. He told Lot, he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Either stay thou on all the plain, escape to the mountain." He said, "Lest thou be consumed." Isaiah 5 and 14, the writer records, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." And I tell you today, it's the intention of the devil. It's the intention of the enemy of your soul for you to go to hell. But God has come today. He's put a church in your path. He's put a man of God with a message in your path. And he said, "No, that's not my intent for you to be lost. But my intent is for you to be saved." For you to be saved. The whole purpose of the plan of God was that he robe himself in flesh, that he take upon himself the sins of this world. He would take their place. He would die in their stead simply because he didn't want you to be lost. He didn't want you to be lost. Can we stand to our feet all over this place? I was reading just a couple days ago and came across this saying that I said, "Wow, I've never heard it put that way before." Listen to me. As bad as sin is, God's grace is so extravagant that one prayer, one repentant prayer, will overcome a lifetime of sin. Did you hear me? As bad as sin is, God's grace is so extravagant that one prayer, one repentant prayer, can overcome a lifetime. Jesus would never forgive me for what I've done. Yes, he would. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I don't know if I told this the last time I was here, but in 2006, pastored in Macon, Georgia, God blessed us with a revival like we had never seen. The first 90 days of 2006, we had over 60 brand new people. Now, let me tell you, it wasn't the doctors, it wasn't the lawyers, it wasn't the ones from the right side of the tracks, so-called. They were the less wanted ones that the churches of the city were. They were the ones that, let me just go ahead and put it plain to you, they were prostitutes. Okay? They were drug addicts. They were alcoholics. They were the ones that everybody turned their nose up at. Let me even tell you, they were the homeless. They were the homeless.
Yeah.
But God begin to stir some things up.
Oh, yes.
They had records, rap sheets that were longer and taller than I was. Would hold them up and they would still curl up on the floor. You know what I called them? I called them my felony flock. They were all convicted felons. But when God got a hold of them, when God began to do a work in their lives, when God began to stir them up, when God got into their heart and began to change some things, they started dressing a little bit different. They started acting a whole lot different. They started talking a whole lot different. They didn't smell the way they smelled when they first came in. They didn't look the way they looked when they first came in, because God began to get a hold of them. Let me go ahead and tell you this. Let me just throw this in for good measure. You know what happened to some of those rap sheets that they had that were 6 and 7 feet long? You know, if things are pardoned, that means that they're still on the record. You can still see what someone has been pardoned of.
Yeah.
But when they are expunged, it's like it never happened.
Never happened.
It's removed. Can I tell you, it wasn't just people that were pardoned, but there was records that was expunged. Not one DUI was on there. Not one drug arrest was on there. Not one speeding ticket was on there. I'm talking about God gave them favor. I'm talking about how that God just came in and moved on their behalf. God's wanting to expunge some things in your life. He's wanting to totally remove some things in your life. Some scars that you've had in your life, God's wanting to remove those scars. God's wanting to take some of those hurts that you're feeling. God's wanting to put that soothing balm, the Holy Ghost, and apply them to your life.
He is
for us to totally heal and make you whole. Let's talk to God all across this building. If you're here today without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we're going to open up these altars in just a few moments. It's just not a couple of people that's going to come, but I'm going to ask this whole church body in just a moment to step out from where you are and to come and kneel and stand around this front. God's dealing with some folks' hearts in this building right now. God's stirring some things up on this side of your life right now. You've waited all week long to get to the house of God on Sunday morning. Now God's here to do a work in your life. He's mindful of you. He's mindful of you. He's thought about you all week long. He's had you on his mind all week long. He's wanting to deal with you all week long. He's been wanting to change you all week long. But here you are on Sunday morning, and God's standing with his hand outstretched, saying one more time, come on, let me do a work in your life. Come on, let me do something beautiful in your life. Come on, let me make something beautiful out of your life. Can we step out from where we stand right now, everybody in this building? No tricks, no gimmicks, no schemes. Just would you come and stand at the front this morning? Everybody in this building, come on. Let's come and stand. You need the Holy Ghost this morning. You've never repented of your sins. This is a good time to repent of your sins right now. This is a good time to ask God, God, forgive me of my sins today. Come on. Come on. Come on. God's mindful of you. He had you on his mind in the beginning of this service. He had you on his mind throughout the course of this week. He's had you on his mind. He's been wanting to deal with you. He's been wanting to draw you close.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, God's doing a work in your life. Come on, God's doing a work in your life. Come on.